You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Backpacking Podcast. As always, John Kelly here with my good friend, Mr. Redbeard himself, Yosemite Sam, the king of Kentucky backpacking, the man who refuses to get merch, Jeremiah Stringer.
The rumors are true. The rumors are true. He does refuse. But as I told you off air, I thought about it, well, mostly all last week, and I have a couple t-shirt ideas that I want to drop.
Oh, watch out. We're going to talk after the show tonight?
Yeah, we'll keep them a secret, and then we'll drop them and see if anybody's interested in them.
Oh, dang, man. That sounds awesome. Well, with that said, let's go ahead and get the ticker started for tonight because we got a great show. Like, this is going to be maybe an all-time great because of who our guest is. He's got a story most people don't know about, and he's going to share that with us tonight. But before we get into that, we need to go ahead and say a big thank you to our sponsor for tonight's show, and that is Warbonnet. Huge thank you to Warbonnet for sponsoring the show. When I first got into backpacking, a good friend of mine, the first company he introduced me to was Warbonnet and all of the stuff that they do with hammocks. They are one of the most well-known, renowned backpacking hammock companies in the world. And even Rob Pelton, who's on the show today, is a huge fan of Warbonnet. Jeremiah, I know you've had opportunities to use the Ridge Runner and some of their gear. What are your thoughts?
Well, speaking of the Ridge Runner, it was my favorite hammock. I have gathered in hammocks, but this is a little bit different because it's a bridge hammock. And, you know, the rest of my hammocks, I typically will not use a pad in because I don't think it's very comfortable in my gathered in. But this one actually has a sleeve. So if you don't want to use an underquilt, you want to save a little bit of money and you already have a pad, you just stick it in that sleeve and that's going to keep your butt insulated. You're not going to get the cold butt syndrome. You pair that with the Thunderfly tarp. I myself have the 13-foot Thunderfly, bought it myself, love the product, gives me plenty of protection. And, you know, warbonnetoutdoors.com, they have all kinds of different accessories, underquilts, top quilts, hammocks, you name it in the hammock world, and they have it.
Yeah, they're such a great company. We've enjoyed working with them. They've been longtime sponsors of the channel, and we're definitely thankful for them sponsoring this episode as well.
Yeah, made in the USA, baby.
All day long. So, Jeremiah, with a big thank you to Warbonnet, I think it's time we bring in our guest for tonight. I'm kind of going through some comments right now. My favorite one so far is this SBO channel. Are we Show Brothers Outdoors?
Not yet.
We're not that good. I mean, come on, man. And we got people saying all kinds of stuff about our guests. Let me see if I can find a few of these comments, because if you've looked at what's going on, you know who our guest is today. And let's see, man, there are a lot of comments on here already. Holy cow, it's just like taking off fast.
I love the comments. Keep blowing them.
We got backpacking with Jason saying, tell Rob what happens in the Red River Gorge stays in the gorge. And Rob is the man.
Yes,
from Mr. Devin. With that said, we agree. Rob is the man. So welcome to the channel. You're about to see his face fill up your screen quite literally. Mr. Rob Pelton.
What's going on, hackers?
What's up, Rob? How's it going?
What is happening, boys? It's going very well. Thanks for inviting me onto the podcast. I'm excited to talk to you folks and excited to say what's up to, you know, all the subscribers and your subscribers out there too. So thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. It was funny because we were talking about guys we wanted on the show and we've talked about you multiple times. And I don't know why we haven't done it until now. Maybe we're just waiting for the perfect moment.
Well, I mean, you got to, like, save the best for last. I mean, I know you had, like, you know, Skurka on, whoever that is. You know, you've had some, like, some world-renowned, like, outdoorsmen on. They're all right. They're all right. But you may as well just keep getting better as you go. And I don't blame you. So, well done.
Well, I've got one person on here who says Rob has a perfect personality for YouTube.
Oh, he does.
YouTube is one of those things where yes and no. I think YouTube, you got to be careful not to get too hokey, too comical. Sometimes it can feel forced. But if you're just kind of a natural person, and hopefully you're a good person, that should shine through. If it doesn't, well, that's your fault.
I like it.
So, that's a nice way to say. If you suck, then you pretty much.
I'm just saying. I think whatever it takes for you to get outdoors, if you want to film it, put it on YouTube. If that's what makes you get outside,
yeah,
do it. It doesn't even matter. I do everything on my iPhone. I don't have fancy video equipment. I have an iPhone. And that's all my videos are. I'm outside first. I'm filming it second. That's all there is to it. Yeah.
Right.
And also to talk about Warbonnet, and thanks for sponsoring the show. I'm a big time Warbonnet guy. I built my channel originally through Warbonnet. I was the Ridge Runner guy forever. Got a whole series of videos on setups and different accessories and options and upgrades and all kinds of stuff for the Ridge Runner. My latest video that just came out Sunday was comparing the Ridge Runner against the Superior hammock. The big difference is, because I've used both quite extensively. So if you want to know those differences, feel free to hop on the Rob Pelton YouTube channel. Shameless plug there. So
there you go. We got somebody likes your exercise bikes.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means either, but apparently you have good exercise bikes. But All Things Outdoor says they love your hat.
Okay, let's talk about this hat just a little bit. This is new. It's a runner's hat, right? I saw this.
Right.
It popped up on my Instagram because I'm a glutton for all. I'm a huge consumer of anything. If it pops up on my Instagram enough, I'm probably going to buy it. And I saw this, and you know what made me buy it?
What's that?
What's that say up there?
Come on now.
I can't see. Oh, it has a picture of Rob Pelton. It says Rob Pelton with the YouTube logo.
Is that new merch?
yeah, kind of. I saw it and I was like, I'm going to do that because it's silly. So there it is. Yeah,
what's silly about it, man? I think it's awesome.
Yeah, why not? And it's a runner's hat, so it's a perfect hiker's hat too.
That's awesome. Okay. Here was the confusion with the bikes. Peloton. Sorry.
Waiting for the kickback checks.
No kidding, man.
If I just had one more O in my name, I'd be in.
That's awesome. J-Flow says, you put them onto the Optimus clip-on windshield. Great piece of gear.
If you don't know, so in my videos, I use just a bunch of weird stuff. And a lot of times, viewers, they will hone in on the weirdest things. Like they'll say, hey, I noticed you're wearing an orange watch band instead of a green watch band. What are you talking about? So there's a windscreen that clips onto fuel canisters made by Optimus, and people ask about it all the time. And then I send them an affiliate link. So I make my 3 cents off it.
A smart guy. Do you do any Easter eggs in your videos? Like I know Tim Watson, he used to make a lot of videos and he would change the books in his backdrop.
I haven't gotten that into it yet. I've always thought about changing something in my background on every video and then putting out a video later saying, hey, can you tell me what's on this video on this time? And if you do, I'll give you something. And we'll see if anyone actually gets it. Yeah, maybe.
Jeremiah, for about a year and a half, had a stick figure drawn of me in the background of his.
Did I even know?
It was on a piece of paper. I don't know where it came from. I just came over to film with you one day, and there was like this stick drawing of me on your wall.
Well, I tell you who does that crap. It's the prankster, Mr. Miyagi.
This is before we like hung out with Miyagi.
This is before he came to my house?
Yes, it's before he came to your house.
Okay, well, I'll tell you, Miyagi, he wakes up at like 3:30 in the morning, and I guess that's just how he starts his day. I always feel bad for him, especially when we're backpacking, because I like to sleep in. And then I remember, so we were supposed to take this trip, right? And this is at my old house. And we get up, and it's like, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 o'clock. And he's like, I've been up since 5. He was just literally just sitting on my front porch drinking coffee. And then apparently while I was sleeping, he was going into my YouTube studio and messing with my backdrop. He was like writing secret things. He was like taking things off the wall and like putting his sticker on there. And I don't know. He's just hiding it. He's a big prankster, man. I thought maybe
you have to be careful of this man. The very first time I met him, very first time, he put like a 5-pound rock in my backpack. Like, yeah. You walk around.
First
and like,
time.
Yeah, very first time. But there's one thing that I have noticed about the backpacking podcast. You mentioned Miyagi in every single episode in some way, shape, or form.
He's left a lasting impression on
us. He does, right? Just the way he is, he does. You're right.
Yes.
And he's awesome for it.
And you guys have that. And Hunter's Trip and I had an actual horseshoe thrown at us from Miyagi.
Oh, I believe it.
I don't know where it came from. It was on trail, apparently, and he just threw it at us. So,
yeah, I'm surprised you can find that in the bottom of your backpack 3 days later.
It may be in my backpack now, for all I know.
Could be. Lucky horseshoe.
It's no telling.
Check.
I see John's over here going through the comments. I see him.
Oh, yeah. There's a couple great ones on here. Was the stick figure Jeremiah's merch prototype?
That could be.
And then we got a suggestion for a place to go hike. The Girard Hiking Trail in Oil Creek State Park in Pennsylvania.
I've always wanted to go to Oil Creek. I saw it in one of Tim Watson's videos back in the day. They have these shelters, and you can just hike from shelter to shelter. And I would love to do that, especially in the wintertime.
They got fireplaces in them, don't they?
Yeah. In Pennsylvania, you could do that in the dead of winter. What does it get down to? Like zero? Like really warm? Let's do it.
Okay, let's just get this out of the way. Rob is from Minnesota. When we talk about cold, Rob laughs at us. Like
it's cute.
It's because they do those frozen butt hangs. And by the way, Rob, I went to Oil Creek with Tim and Josh, like all those Ohio guys. And we took all of our gear in on sleds and then sledded down the hills. So Jared says Oil Creek shelters also have firewood cut and delivered for free from the Rangers. Yes, we burned up a lot of firewood.
That needs to happen.
Yeah, so tell us about the cold weather and the frozen butt hangs and all that stuff that y'all do up there.
I think a lot of people have this giant negative connotation when it comes to winter camping. They think it's zero degrees. That's 32 degrees colder than freezing, and you're going outside. Yes, but that's considered a nice day in Minnesota in the middle of January, right? Just like anything else, if you're prepared for it, you can have an amazing time out in the wintertime. When we go on our winter trips, especially our deep winter camping trips with Miyagi and Jeremy and everybody, we're actually more too warm than ever too cold just because of the gear we have, right? So, and plus we're in Minnesota, our blood's a little thicker. We just get acclimated to it. But the wintertime is such an underrated time to go camping. There's nobody out there. It's quiet. It's beautiful, brutal. But it will really test, you know, your mettle out there too, which is a challenge that Miyagi wants. Miyagi's goal is to do 50 below zero. So we'll see what this January looks like.
Funny story. For 4 years of my life, I lived maybe 30 minutes from Miyagi. Did not know it. Up in Wisconsin.
That's amazing.
I was about 30 minutes from Miyagi. Never knew him. Just didn't know him. He lived in a different town than I did. But, I mean, I was right there in Wisconsin. And there's a reason I moved south. Because of everything you just talked about.
Yeah, because you're a smart man. I was born in Florida.
What are you thinking?
That's the opposite of Minnesota.
Yeah. I was never accused of being sane. So
that's true. So Minnesota is a great place to scoop up a wife, don't you know?
Oh, yeah. Rob's working on it too. So do you ever have to like stack all your underquilts or anything like that to be warm enough, or like tie bags around your double socked feet or something to keep your feet are warm?
Our cold time 2 winters ago, it got down to 27 below zero straight temp, and I think it was like 48 below wind chill. And I don't have a really, really warm underquilt for my Ridge Runner. So I stacked 2 20-degree underquilts and an underquilt protector. And on the top, I had a 30-degree top quilt stuffed into a 10-degree top quilt. And then I put a wool blanket over me. It was 83 degrees in my hammock, 27 below outside my hammock. And for those of you who are good at math, what is that, Jeremiah?
Oh, I have no idea. It sounds
that's
like
100 degrees. That's a 100-degree swing.
That's a Shug level difference there on the hammock camping. That winter camping is insane.
I got a lot of comments about Shug. Winter camping too, man.
Yeah, I want to run into Shug so bad.
You need to, man. He's an awesome guy. He's an awesome guy.
He's everywhere up here. And one of these days, I think it's going to happen, but we'll see. Well,
you're not alone, because a lot of people are commenting right now. Winter trips are my favorite. I love winter trips. Yes, I love winter trip or winter backpacking because I get the place to myself.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. Here's a nice little tip for people who go backpacking. Hilltop Packs Coffee has an R value of 8.9.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
And we have a question for you on top of all of that. And the question that we have for you, and I just accidentally took it off of here, which is, of course, what I'm going to do. Let me go back here and find it real quick. Rob, how do you mount your backpack so cleanly on your wall?
That right there. Those actually aren't backpacks. They're props that are built into the wall. It took a little while. I had to get improvement from management. It looks real, right? Like, see these axes right here? Those aren't real. Those are part of the wall, too.
They look real.
No, those are just those 3M hooks, you know, with the sticky back. You stick them on the wall, you know? And yeah. Every once in a while in the middle of the night, I hear it fall, and it freaks me out because I think someone's breaking in.
Well, that axe would terrify anybody breaking in.
Oh, yeah. Don't break in my house. don't do it.
We were just talking about some things before this. We came on air that would also make me go, I'll have some pause before breaking into your place.
I was a part-time ninja in the 80s. So, I mean, like, don't even.
I like that. I like that. So, Simon Miller got on here, says, long-time listener, first-time caller. How do you guys winterize your gear for storing the summer gear for the next several months?
As far as underquilts and things like that, that's the things that you really got to pay attention to because you don't want to compress it down for an extended period of time, right?
Right.
Just get your storage sacks and just store them loosely. And that goes for tents as well. Store your tents loosely. Don't keep them compact and then put them in a storage closet somewhere where you're not going to have big temperature swings. And then they'll be ready to go for you when winter comes around. And the same thing for summer stuff. Keep all that stuff stacked out here. But I'm in Minnesota. We could have 32 degrees and then 80 degrees, you know, the next day. So we never really put anything away.
Yeah, I get that. So last question for you right now. Where are the best places in Minnesota for good winter hiking? Any top spots worth a trip?
Any state park in Minnesota is going to have decent hiking. Just be sure, you get some spikes or some traction devices because a lot of those times they get packed down and then they melt a little bit. They get glazed over so it could be slick ice. So get some kind of traction devices for your shoes. But we've done Superior Hiking Trail in the wintertime. And it's either, if it's a high traffic area, you'll see the trail. It'll be packed down. If it's not a high traffic area, then you're post-holing up to your knees for, you know, miles and miles. But just remember, if you go out, you have to come back.
So. You do a lot of snowshoeing, don't you?
I have a really nice pair of snowshoes. I'd like to go more. It's just another thing to do. Now, I already do so many things, and it's just another thing. That's why
Rob, you're a professional YouTuber. Come on, man.
Yeah, professional. That's right.
You get out there and make the content.
Yeah, you're right. I like making content. It gives me a chance to document everything that I do, and then all the gear reviews I do is stuff that I use, you know, because people want to send me stuff, all kinds of crazy stuff, like stuff I have no business looking at, you know, but
like baby monitors. That's literally something that got sent to me today. Like they wanted me to review their baby monitors on a backpacking channel. They
really?
Watch.
So how do they work? Really good?
I apparently great. I haven't quite responded to that one yet. So Rob, I want people to understand who you are and kind of where you come from and all that. And you and I got to go backpacking. It's been a year and a half now. Actually, it was 2 years ago. It was two and a half years ago. It was like a month before COVID. Like literally a month before COVID. And I actually had COVID on that trip, which I'm really glad that some of you guys didn't get sick. Although I think I did get one of the Shill brothers sick.
So that was like a star-studded cast, right? Before we were all stars.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know if I'm a star, but you were a star. So, one of the things that I loved was we got to doing a lot of talking. And while we were hiking, you told me your story about kind of what got you into backpacking. And so a great question real quick, though. Was it a Gonex baby monitor? No. But if it was, I would have taken it. So, but back to the important stuff. Rob, can you give us kind of your story? Because it's an awesome story, and I think people are really going to love to hear just kind of what it is that kind of developed this passion for you.
Yeah, I can make a short story long or a long story short, so I'll do the latter here. So essentially, I've always been an outdoorsman as a kid. I was in Cub Scouts. I was always playing around the woods in the swamps of Georgia. I've always been outside, right? You know, camping, things like that. But into my adult life, you know, 10, 15 years ago, what have you, I was going through my life, being adult, you know, being productive to society just like everyone else, right? And all within a matter of a couple of months, life imploded on me. I got laid off from my job, which was like a career job. I lost my potential fiance, right? So all this stuff started happening. And my instinct was, I got to get out of here. I got to just pack up and leave because I couldn't stay where I was because I didn't know what to do. So I was questioning the universe at this point, right? Like, why? What's going on? La, la, la. So what I ended up doing, I Googled cheap places to live in the world. And Nepal popped up. The exchange rate, the way the culture is, you know, Hindu, Buddhist, that kind of thing. And plus, it's the home of Everest. And I said, you know what? I bought a ticket to Nepal, went to REI and bought the first backpack that looked cool, stuffed it and left. And I was gone for 3 months. All right. So now I'm backpacking around the Himalayas, right? Trying to figure out the meaning of life, right? And this is what it all boiled down to. And I fell in love with being out there and just having that physical, you know, that physical test every day. And just the fact that you're out there, people don't see these things sitting at home, right? I mean, the mountains, like legit Himalayan mountains, crazy. But it all boiled down to a single moment. And I shared this with a couple of people. When you are on trail, you know, there's uphills and downhills, right? In Nepal, it's not just uphills and downhills. It's like, oh, hey, tomorrow is uphill day. Oh, so 10 hours. Okay, gotcha. Right? So I am on my seventh hour of just trudging up the hill, 30-pound pack, and I am beat, dead, dog exhausted, tired. The rest of my group is ahead of me. No one's behind me. And I got to a point where I broke down emotionally, physically, and I was done. And this is why I was at the max of despair, right? And then something happened, something very spiritual in my mind. I looked up and I saw the mountain. I saw a mountain in front of me. There were some clouds, but then I looked above the clouds and the mountain was way up there. And at that moment, I felt this big, right? Like insignificant. And that taught me no matter all my problems, as huge as they were, I was making them that way. In the overall scheme of things, your issues are this big to the rest of the universe. Suck it up. You'll be fine. There's a whole world out there. Now get up. You still got 3 miles uphill to go. And when I came back, I started trying to find trails. I found this Sphere Hike Trail. I started buying gear. And I filmed that Nepal. I filmed a lot of the trips in Nepal. And that's where I learned to really like filming my trips. When I came back, I started getting into backpacking, filming it, getting into reviews, and here we are on the world-renowned backpacking podcast.
World-renowned. That's right. World-renowned. A really powerful story, Rob. Thanks for sharing. That's IZ Goes Outdoors, and that's what I call throwing yourself into a lifestyle.
Yeah, sometimes you got to throw in and jump in, and hopefully you know how to swim. So.
Yeah. Well, I remember we talked about it, and because yours was that, and mine was Kilimanjaro. Like, both of us got into it in other countries. Like, it wasn't like we started backpacking in the U.S. Right. We both decided to take on these things that were over the ocean and in other countries. And
that's stepping out of your normal everyday. I mean, if that doesn't get you out of your routine or whatever it is you're going through, then I don't know what to tell you.
So, yeah. And it just – the only bad part about stuff like that, is that – pretty much everything after that is kind of a letdown a little bit because, I mean, yeah. You know what I mean. You know where I'm coming from on that.
I do.
When you're standing on top of a 19,000-foot mountain and you look out, it's like, oh, wow. And being on a ridge at the gorge, while it's absolutely beautiful and it's breathtaking, there's still that yearning to go back.
Right. I know exactly what you're talking about. The way I think about it is when I was – I think I got up to like 16,200 or something, which is – high, right?
Yeah.
So at that moment, when you were at 19,000 feet, John, if you think about it, you were higher than like 99% of the population on Earth at that moment.
Right.
You don't get that at the gorge.
Right.
That's true.
Or maybe 70%.
Yeah. It was something else. That's for sure. Yeah.
It's so incredible hearing those kind of stories because it just gives your whole worldview a shift. You know, it makes you think about things differently. I was talking to this lady I work with today. She's she has a daughter that was one of my students, and the daughter's now off to college. And she said, she's like, come here. I want to tell you about, you know, her daughter today. She said she's about to start school, and they did a 4-day trip. She signed up. She said she's now minoring in like outdoors and media. And I was like, well, what happened? Because she hates bugs. She hates camping. She hates basically the outside. She said, well, they took this 4-day trip and they made them do a backpacking trip, and they took them out, and it was just a few of them. And then she absolutely fell in love. And then she went from pursuing one thing, going to college, to just her whole worldview is shifted, you know? And that kind of happened with me on my first trip. I was like, this is a whole different world that we're a part of. And you feel so, the world is so big. Like you even said, the universe is so big compared to you. We're just so small, floating on this little blue marble through the universe. It's insane to think about.
Yeah, it really is. Outside comfort zone said, great story. Reminds me of a quote, Blue Highways. When you're traveling, you are what you are right there. And then people don't have your past to hold against you. No yesterdays on the road. That's a great comment. And then Keith Photography, he got booted off on his internet. He says, I come back on to everyone saying great story. Tell him again.
we'll hit the trail again, Keith. I'll share it again. Me and Keith have backpacked. If you guys don't know Keith, Keithography, phenomenal photographer, just completed.
Instagram channel's incredible.
Yeah, just completed incredible. A through hike of the SHT, and I joined him for a section of it. But yeah, really cool guy. Is also joining us on another trip coming up in October. So Keith is going to be with me and Jeremy and Miyagi and, you know, so.
Yeah. Oh, the whole Midwest crew.
Yeah, man.
Nice. I know he's also, he just did the Porcupine Mountains.
Yes,
and,
correct.
Man, the photos were awesome. Absolutely right? Awesome photos. The guy's got a great eye for photography.
The picture you used for my thumbnail on the podcast, you took that picture.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
Yep.
Actually, can I tell a funny story? Like, the picture that's on my channel, Rob took.
Yeah, on that trip. Yeah.
Yes. So the picture that I've been using for my headshot for everything, Rob took that picture.
That's funny. Isn't that funny? And that's all for a sort of, Jeremiah, where you at, man?
Actually, John made my logo that I still use today for my channel. Now, he didn't take the photo. He wasn't on the trip, but he designed that whole thing and sent it to me, and I'm still using it today. Maybe that'd make a good t-shirt. I don't know, John.
That, yes.
He might there get some go, royalties man. On that one.
I mean, I'm down for royalties, bro. Like, I'm totally down for some royalties.
Well, let me ask Rob about something, because I watched your video that you're talking about. You done the section of the Superior Hiking Trail that you did with Keith or what?
Yes.
Okay. So I watched that. And then I also saw that you, not just the Black Elk Wilderness, but I saw you got the Black Elk Wilderness and Mount Rushmore and all that. And I got to take not quite as big of a trip as you. It probably would have been as big, but we let Miyagi plan it, and I just told him not to kill us, so he kept it under 10 miles every day. And I know you were doing like 16 miles. You were doing like crazy days and stuff, but I was going to ask, what did you think of that whole area? Is that your first time to South Dakota?
It's not. The trip you went on, I was supposed to be on that trip, by the way, and it ended up being one of the few weekends I work, right? But it is what it is. I love it out in South Dakota. So the trail that you're talking about is called the Centennial Trail. It's a 123-mile trail that runs through South Dakota and through a lot of national parks, even right by Mount Rushmore. I love it out there because it's much different from what I'm used to in Minnesota. Here it's all lush green, and sure, we get some, you know, overlooks of Lake Superior and things like that. But out there, it's you got higher elevations, you know, you got the pines, it's open, it's gorgeous. I loved it. I loved it out there.
I did too, man. It was, I don't know if you got to check out Little Devil's Tower. Did y'all hit that one or did it go by?
I did that a few years ago when I road tripped out there with a buddy of mine, but yeah.
Yep. Well, that was the first thing that we saw, like the first big thing, and it was right next to Cathedral Spires.
Yeah.
Dude, this is crazy.
Yeah, have you seen the actual Devil's Tower? Have you been to actual Devil's Tower?
I haven't. That's only just not even that far west from there. It's not far. I know Tim Buckley was there this spring, and it looked amazing. I'd like to go there.
A few years back, I went there first, and then I went to Mount Rushmore, and I honestly was kind of let down by Mount Rushmore after seeing Devil's Tower, the original.
Mount Rushmore, if you're there, it's worth seeing. I mean, is it one of the biggest, grandest things you've ever seen in your life? Not really. Just a bunch of faces carved into a mountain. I mean, it's cool. You know, it's a big production.
I just remember being floored by, like, so I go to see, we went first and we saw, you know, Devil's Tower, and it was just this unbelievably cool looking thing in the middle of, like, just the middle of the land, you know, just jutting up out of the ground. And we climbed up to the base of it and hung out for a while. And then we got back in our vehicles and we headed out towards Mount Rushmore, and we got to Mount Rushmore, and all I thought was Niagara Falls. Like, I got there and it was like there's a bunch of stores and restaurants. It was like a total tourist trap. And I just remember going, I think I'd have been more impressed by it if it had been out in the middle of nowhere and there was nobody else around.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I think for me, it was just kind of backpacking, the things I like to see are the things you can't drive to.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Like, I like going and seeing the things that you have to earn that view.
Right. It was kind of cool because we did backpack up to it. And then camp, we walked to Mount Rushmore. We may or may not have illegally camped inside Mount Rushmore.
I heard nothing. Jeremiah bleeped this out.
It was cool to walk up there, have a bison burger, and hang out in the AC for a little while, and then head back to camp at night. But you're right, though. Driving up there, you go there once and you're good. You don't need to go there annually.
John, what was the other thing that we looked up a couple of weeks ago that was also carved in? It's
Crazy Horse?
Oh, Crazy Horse,
No joke. There was a guy at work that started telling me about this place the next day. I never even heard of it, and then John brought it up on the podcast. And he's telling me about it and how he's been there, but it always seems to be like under construction.
Yeah, for like the last 80 years, yeah.
Yeah, never finished. Did you get to check that out, Rob?
Yeah, you can see it right from the highway.
Well, I didn't see it. The same place that you hit Rushmore, we could have seen that?
No, you've had to have driven like past it.
Oh, okay.
But if you were hiking, you would not have seen it. But okay. The Centennial Trail, I did the first 40 miles. I need to complete the last 80, and I'll probably try to hit that up this coming spring. Uh-huh. Jeremy's through hiked it. Midwest Backer, he's through hiked it. And I know Buckley's done a lot of time on there as well. It's a great trail, and it gives you kind of a Western experience a little, you know, without having to go extremely west. So
can I share a place that I think the three of us should go?
Let's hear it.
I think this is a place we should go. I found out about it like literally just a few days, like yesterday maybe. It's called Rainbow Mountain in Peru. Check this out. Are you ready for this?
I bet that's got amazing nighttime sky.
Look at that, dude. That's for real. That is a real picture.
No, are you trolling me right now?
I am not trolling you one bit.
All right,
look it up. It's a 5,000 foot mountain in Peru, and that's what the mountain looks like. It's got these striations of color all through it.
What's that?
I'm gonna be there. I'm gonna be there in 2.5 weeks.
Are you seriously?
Yeah.
I was like,
wait a minute.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm going there, and then I'm hiking the Inca Trail to Machu Picchu in September. Yeah.
I am so jealous of you right now.
That's why I was like, wait a minute, who you been talking to?
No way, dude. That is awesome. I'm telling you, man, I've been wanting to check this thing out. Like, ever since I've seen it, I'm just like, oh my gosh, this looks incredible.
How do you say it?
It's just call it Rainbow Mountain.
Rainbow Mountain.
That's the English version. Rainbow Mountain. You can call it Montaña Winnecunca.
Montaña Winnecunca.
So,
I will give you a field report. I'm going to video everything. I'm going to video gear loadouts, tips and tricks about what to do in Peru and Cusco. So I'm going to have a whole video series on this Peru thing coming up. So
that is awesome, man.
Yeah, that's funny. So yeah, well done.
Okay,
good research. You guys got your research down.
Dude, I've got spies. I got spies.
You got microphones in that place.
Right? Seriously.
Here's one of the worst questions I've ever seen in my life. And I'm just kidding, but like, if Rob, Jeremiah, and John were faces on Mount Backpacking, who would be the fourth? That would not be Mount Backpacking. That would be Mount Wannabe Backpacking, is what you'd call that.
Mount Mediocrity.
Mount Mediocrity. Yeah. I like that.
I mean, who would be the fourth amigo?
I would say just because of volume of times he's talked about, it would have to be – we'd have to make it five guys instead of four because it would have to be backpacking with Jason and Miyagi.
Yes.
I mean, I think it would have to be both of them or one of us has to come off, and I'm more than willing to come off of that thing. But definitely those two guys would have to be in there, in my opinion.
Now, is it outdoors or IZ? Gone outdoors.
Let's see. Where's that? What IZ goes outdoors.
IZ
goes outdoors. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Make it happen. Let us know how it turns out.
Yeah. Go ahead and build that. That'd be great.
we'll make a pilgrimage. Yeah.
Oh man. Okay. So Outdoor Comfort Zone said that's an talking about Rainbow Mountain said that's an Instagram influencer staple. Get them booty shirts on and get ready to influence, JK. If I put on booty shorts, nobody's looking at my channel again. So that's definitely not happening. Here's a good one. Nimblewill Nomad is definitely a backpacking god, but he wouldn't make it on the Mount Mediocrity.
No, so he'd be on the actual Mount Backpack.
He'd be on the actual Mount Rushmore. Him probably Skirka and
Grandma Gatewood.
Yeah.
Yeah, some legends.
Yeah, that would have to be that. We'll just throw Shug up there because we just love Shug.
Yeah, he's got to be up there.
Good idea.
So
Rob, I want... For people who haven't seen your video or heard about this, I want to hear about the first time you called 911.
What now?
Could you? I feel like a secret interviewer. Can you tell us about that? Oh my goodness!
Right, so I'm really curious about this.
So I've lived a very interesting life, and I've been in a lot of precarious situations, not only in the backcountry, but in the inner city as well as a troubled youth. Never had to call 911 in any of those circumstances. Recently, back west in South Dakota, I took a buddy of mine who's not an outdoorsman. He's a photographer, and he loves outdoor photography, but he hates being outdoors. Okay. So we went to Theodore Roosevelt National Park, which is in North Dakota. It's kind of like the North Dakota's version of Badlands, but smaller, or Black Hills, but smaller. And there's bison herds. It has elk, all kinds of animals in this park. So we got a backcountry permit, which allows you to camp anywhere. You know, you can walk a trail and just throw up a tent. So we wanted to do this loop, a 10.5-mile loop. And then we went north, and we ended up on the south side. We wanted to camp on one of the cliff faces so we can have a south facing sky because my buddy wanted to get some Milky Way, like astrophotography. So while we're hiking, there was a couple of big bison herds and they kind of shifted out of our way a little bit. You know, we weren't really in each other's way. So we found this perfect spot right on the ledge. I mean, it was gorgeous. So we set up camp and there's buffalo, you know, bison in the background and you can hear them. They grunt, you know, they sound like you ever watch Stranger Things? So they grunt and they growl. And as we set up camp and we're just chilling, I'm like, you know, eating, drinking ramen, you know, for dinner. I'm just enjoying it. It's beautiful out there. No bugs. The sun sets, you know, it's setting. It's gorgeous. And a lone bull, a big, angry, mature bull, decides to peel off of the herd and come into camp. Now, I've walked by bison. You know, I've been on the Centennial Trail. I've walked within 30 yards of them. I've been around bears. I've been around moose. I've been around, you know, all kinds of things. And he was not stopping. I was yelling. I named him Bryce for some reason.
Bryce Newbold.
Yeah. Right?
He's, he's built like a bison.
Yeah. So and he's coming and he's not stomping. I'm like, get out of here, Bryce. And he grunts at me. And I'm like, this is not good. So I put on my shoes. I'm like, my buddy, Justin, I'm like, Justin, get ready to jump off this cliff because he's not stopping. So he's coming. Like, there's no way. I'm like, all right. So now we're trying to edge down this cliff face. And he comes all the way up to the edge. And he just looks down at us like, what's up, guys? Why are you here? What are you doing? You don't belong here. That's the vibe I got. And I'm pretty sure that's what he was saying in bisonese. But he wouldn't leave. He was up there grunting. I tried to peel around one side to peek. He was still there. He was aggressive. So I don't get freaked out easily with animal encounters. My buddy, ghost. Like,
yeah.
He had flip-flops on. We're on this cliff. And the only thing he grabbed was his camera bag. And I had the sense to bring my phone because, you know, my phone's my video camera and I'm videoing everything. So he won't leave. It's getting dark now because the sun is setting and he's still up there. So I'm like, I call 911 and they forward me to the park ranger who then calls me back and he's like, hey, what's going on, guys? Well, I'm like, there's a bison up there playing Mr. Tough Guy. And I was yelling at him. He called my bluff and decided to come in anyway. The ranger ended up coming out that night. He had this big, you know, shotgun, like ready to rock and roll if he needed to. So he basically came into camp and escorted us out of the park. And once I told my buddy that, hey, the ranger's coming, you could just see the weight just, I mean, just like peel off of him. But yeah, I called 911 because of an angry bison. And little did I know, the bison rut, their mating season, was only like a week away. I didn't know that.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the park ranger told me that. I was like, oh, because he's worried about me stealing his ladies. I get that. That makes sense now. I get it.
Yeah. I mean, you, any man who would have you around would be scared of you stealing their ladies. That's for sure. We got some great comments. Someone said, that'd be a great Mount Rushmore, but it'd be tough for the gift shop to sell all that merch without Jeremiah on anything.
just a blank t-shirt, number one seller.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Question, any sand surfing planned in Peru?
I don't know about sand surfing, but it sounds like something I would do. Yeah. So I'll look into it, and I'll definitely have someone film me doing it.
I think you should. I'd like to see it myself.
All right, I'll ask about sand surfing. I dig it.
That'd be sweet. Backcountry exposure. Devin.
What's up, Devin?
Legend, Jeff Garmeyer. 72 hours, 47 minutes on the JMT, new FK. That must have been just gotten done. That must have just gotten done today.
You're kidding.
That's incredible. The whole JMT? On the JMT. He's 3 days. 3 days on the JMT.
That's legit.
Dude, we had your friends do it in 15 days, and I thought that was amazing.
Supported or unsupported? Let's get specific.
Yeah, leave the comment on there, Devin. Let us know which way it was. But that's either way, man. That's a lot of miles.
If you're not following Jeff Garmeyer on Instagram, like, I don't know what you're doing with your life. You definitely need to give him a follow. He does.
I'm doing it right now.
You should. He does these 5Ks in Crocs. It is.
I love it. Crazy. I love it.
And you need to listen to his past episodes with us. They are some of the funniest episodes we've ever had.
Oh yeah.
And the wrestling episode is still my favorite one. If you know, were to have a wrestling pay-per-view of backpackers, it would be absolutely incredible. So that's an old episode. People need to look that up.
Let me share one more thing about Jeff.
Okay. Do that. Yeah, do that. Go for that.
He is such a sweetheart, man. I have a friend that she absolutely loves Jeff Garmeyer, read his book, fantastic, has a signed copy and everything. And I said, hey, man, I think it would make her day if you would shoot a little video saying hi to her. And he done a full play, like decked out in the whole tiger outfit and like made a whole video talking to her. And, you know, thanks for reading the book and everything. He is such a great guy. Definitely support him. Buy his book. Listen to the episodes with him. Look at him.
Like Rob, dude's a stud.
He's the Tiger King.
See that distance.
And be prepared for like occasionally to divert your eyes. That's all I'm gonna say. Just be prepared. Speaking of diverting your eyes, Miyagi, of course, did somebody say booty shorts? Yes. Doc Watson with my eyes. Now
he's all about him.
Oh, I know he is. So where is the video of the bison?
The video is on my YouTube channel.
Okay, good. We'll definitely be getting that out to everybody later on.
So yeah, check it out. And I film, and I even mentioned in the video, I'm like, I'm filming because I'm stupid, because I probably should try not to fall off a cliff and try to avoid. But I filmed anyway, because in this day and age, you don't help. You just film. I don't know if you knew that.
Someone's getting
beat up. No, you don't help. You film it.
Exactly. Because you can help after you film.
Correct.
Let us know in the comments what would y'all have done if you're in his situation with the bison. You call 911. Do you fight the bison? What do you do? Tell us.
Yeah. Jeff Peters, Garmeyer got the biggest laugh on the history of this podcast with the Mountain Dew comments.
Oh,
do you remember those? Oh, man.
Oh, so I'll give you the short of it, Rob. Jeff, there are some people getting sponsored by Mountain Dew, like LeBron
backpacking.
James. Yeah, for backpacking. Uh-huh. Like Instagram or YouTube channel or whatever. They have some type of monetary influence in the backpacking community, right? And yeah. They were sponsored by YouTube. I don't even remember who it was. They were a friend, I think, of Jeff's, wasn't it? Some, yeah. Maybe it's somebody at the Trek. I don't remember.
It was what's her face from the Trek? The redhead.
I can't remember her name.
Yeah.
Chauncey?
Yeah. Yes. Chauncey. Julia Chauncey. Yeah. Juliana Chauncey.
So he was just aggravating him on the podcast, and we were having a grand time because nothing goes better with backpacking than Mountain Dew. Just like, you know, LeBron James. That's exactly what he's drinking after a game.
I just got an email from Mountain Dew wondering if I wanted to wear their logo on some of my stuff.
Yeah, just ask them how much they're paying, and if it's enough, definitely slap that logo. Logo.
Yeah, 13 bucks. Done.
$13 and lifetime supply of Mountain Dew.
I would not want that ever.
Kidney stones in 2 weeks, baby.
Oh, we're having issues. You guys should cut outside comfort zone off from the comments. I already get enough of his comments at home. Listen, I do work in a church, but I don't do marriage counseling. So you're going to have to find somebody else to help you with that stuff. Future Chewing the Fat episodes. What's going on with Chewing the Fat, man?
So, okay. Chewing the Fat is Midwest Backpacker's brainchild. He wanted to do, you know, a podcast talk show style thing where me and him would get together and just talk about backpacking stuff. And they're fun to shoot, you know, but Jeremy lives 40 minutes from me and we have to do it in his studio. And when I go over there, he's never figured out his streaming setup yet. You know, we try to do multiple guests and things like you guys are doing it. It's never worked. They're fun. They get almost no views. But they're fun to do. But we have been asked a few times about it, about the Chewing the Fat. So if you guys really, really want Chewing the Fat, bug Midwest Backpacker, excuse me.
Well, that leads me to the next question. How's your back feeling?
My back?
Yeah, I know from Carrie and Jeremy and all those episodes.
Oh!
You know? You know what's funny? You know, it's funny because it's true. No, I think I know. We have a very goofy dynamic, you know, me and Jeremy.
Yeah.
You know, I call him my dad friend because he's like very much the Midwestern dad. Oh, yeah. You know, with including the dad jokes and all that kind of stuff. And but we get along so well. We know each other so well. We just constantly just rip on each other. You know, even when I call him, I mean, he doesn't even say hello. He says something extremely offensive right off the bat to me when I call him. I'm not going to repeat it here, but I know he's going to say it. Hey, buddy, how are you? You know, but yeah, Chewing the Fat, if you guys want them, let Jeremy know. So,
yep. Now, I remember when we went to Wisconsin, that big group of us, and we were all in hammocks, and we got to this one place, and it was like, there are hooks inside of the shelter.
This is awesome, yeah.
And there were four hammocks hung up inside that shelter, and the Shill brothers show up, and Andy was the only one with two of them with a hammock. Kevin was like in a duplex or something, and Andy just looks in, and we're like, sorry, man, there's no room for another hammock. He goes,
move on.
He goes, don't worry, I don't want to sleep with any of you guys. So walks off.
That was cool. It was like a spider web of hammocks inside that shelter, and no one fell.
No. Not at all.
Did anyone have to get up and pee in the middle of the night, though? That would have been something.
Well, it was me and you and Jeremy.
Jeremy.
And Chad from UGQ.
Yes, Chad. Yeah. Yep.
Chad from UGQ. It was all four of us in there.
And what was Chad's buddy's name? He was cool, too.
Oh, yeah. He was a good guy. But I just remember Jeremy was sick the entire weekend. And he threw up on the trail. I come up on you guys. This is what happens. This is no joke, Jeremiah. I'm walking up the trail, and as I get there, it's like four of them standing there, and all of a sudden I look at Jeremy. He bends over, just throws up everywhere.
Oh, man. That is the worst.
Right there on the side of the trail.
Jeremy, this is – Jeremy, I love you if you're watching.
anytime it starts with that, get ready for what's about to happen.
No, I mean, so Jeremy, I mean, he's been sick on trail before. This is not an isolated case. You know, he's – you know, one of the worst backpacking trips he's ever had. It was storming. He had food poisoning. The wind was whipping so hard and raining and flapping, and he couldn't move. He couldn't do anything about it. It was like just the worst thing for him. But yeah, he's fainted. Jeremy's done he even faints, you know, it's so, but the crazy thing about Jeremy is the dude's a beast on trail.
Yeah,
like,
he is.
30 miles a day, no problem, you know, but you know, if I get up too fast, I might faint. So
yeah. The irony.
Well, we did Pictured Rocks last year, and
and I missed that one too.
Yeah, you were supposed to be on that trip. I remember that night. You were supposed to be on that trip, but we did Pictured Rocks, and we'd all start off together, and you'd hike with Jeremy for a little bit, and then he'd be like, "See ya."
He can't do it. He can't do it. Be like, he physically he wants to be with the group, and he tries. He can't. He's got something in him that just he just needs to go.
Yeah.
You know, like he needs to. And me, I'm like, I'm not going. Like, I'll see you whenever I see you. I know where I'm going. It's fine.
Well, he really likes to push himself. He just did like a 100-mile bike day and did some other stuff. I'm shocked he hasn't tried an FKT yet.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because Jeremy, I mean, he's 50 years old. He's in phenomenal shape. He works out every day. You know what I mean? He's got all his gear dialed in. Like if you hike with Jeremy, be sure you can put miles on. He'll hang with you for a few, but then he's gone.
Well, question for you, because it has to happen. Everybody's losing their minds right now in the comments. We need to know the best poop story that you've got on trail.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, you're
okay.
Inside of him.
No, this instantly comes to mind.
As many trips as he's done, he's got to have one by now.
This is terrible. Okay. Grand Canyon. I'm with Jeremy, Miyagi, Mule. And I don't know if you've done the Grand Canyon, but you know, we go down the canyon, across, up the other side, and then back, right? So we did rim to rim to rim. On the third day, it was going to be a 26-mile day down the canyon and like 3/4 across to the other side. I get up at 5:30, right? I'm just going to get up, I'm going to pack, and I'm just going to crush and get ahead of everybody. So I'm racing the sun because the sun's coming up and the shadow is starting to creep down into the canyon, and I'm trying to race to beat it so the sun doesn't shine on me. One thing you should know about me, I don't like the sun shining on me. I don't need a tan. I'm good. Plus, I'm nuclear all the time. So I get to this little rock outcropping, and it's at a point where my body's like, hey, it's time to go. And have you seen the Grand Canyon? It's rocks, man. It's sand. So, you know, I'm looking around. I'm like, there's nowhere to go. It's early. I mean, there's no one up and around yet. I'm just like, I got to make this happen. So I find this little pocket in between, like, you know, this rock ledge, and I got my pack laying down, and I take care of business, and I scoop it up, I had a Ziploc bag, and I kind of just packed everything away. I feel great now. I'm like, oh man, you know, I'm 5 pounds lighter. I can rock and roll now, right? Eat a little bit of breakfast, and I start charging down the hill. In 3 minutes, I come to a restroom. A big fancy restroom shelter with like the whole night. Like, yeah, I mean, like just a few minutes. I'm just like, you gotta be kidding me. But the good news is they had a garbage can there, so I was able to you know, dispose of everything. But yeah, I mean. Yeah, that was it. That was it.
That's great.
That is. I never heard a poop story quite like that. That is some unlucky poop.
Yeah, I mean, I have several, you know, because of my life in the outdoors. But that's one of the ones that were just like, of course, that's the way it happens. So I didn't quite wag bag it, but it would have
so
been. It was close.
While you were there, I'm taking it you pulled that Ziploc bag out and threw it away, right?
Yeah. Yep. I disposed of that at the site. Yep.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So, here you go. That's the biggest fail in the don't poop in the canyon game.
You know what? Hey, you know what? There comes a time. It's better out than in. And yeah,
that's true.
So yeah, sorry, oh, but yeah.
So, Mr. Backpack when Jason sir texted me before the show and asked me if I would ask you about. Did you get to conquer Indian Staircase and Cloud Splitter? he had mentioned something about Indian Staircase and Cloud Splitter, so I didn't know anything about that or if it's even related.
Yes. Yes, I did. Backpacking with Jason Sir hosted a giant group of YouTubers in the canyon last year. And I know you've been backpacking with other YouTubers, but have you ever been packing with backpack with like 15 of them? Well, we did.
No.
And so Jason took us on a bunch of highlights, Indian Staircase, Cloud Splitter. It amazing. I never thought that Kentucky had something like that there. But when you think of Kentucky, you know, you're thinking Derby, right? You're thinking Wildcats, right? Yeah, horse, right? But the Gorge? Phenomenal. Amazing. Amazing place.
Yeah, it's really mind-blowing, man. Did you guys go out to Hanson's Point, too?
Yep. Yes, we did. Yeah. Yeah, we met Hoot on the trail out there. You know, Buckley was there. Metro. Atod was there. God, there was a bunch of people there, you know? Yeah, it was awesome. It was a good time. Cameras everywhere.
Yeah, that's the thing with the YouTube trips is there's cameras everywhere. Sometimes I'll be like, I'll text somebody. I'll be like, man, I really need a clip to fill this in, like to, you know, go with the storyline or whatever. Yeah. So I just text a buddy and be like, hey, man, did you get any footage of this? Like, wherever we were in South Dakota, we done this shaving thing. Miyagi and I.
What was that about? I saw it. Like,
well, we were supposed to do mustaches. And Tim Buckley showed up with his giant mustache. I hadn't shaved for a few weeks. And
I thought he looked awesome.
Oh, yeah, he did. He looked fantastic. So basically, Miyagi carried in the clippers. And then one time a day, we would shave each other. And then you had to wear it the whole next day. And one day, he shaved me, and he only shaved half my face. And I he's like, it's okay. It's okay. We're going to spend the next day in the woods. Nobody's going to see. I'm like, I'm videoing this whole trip, bro. You want all my pictures of me and with Mount Rushmore for the rest of my life with half a beard?
Yes.
Yeah, he did. He did. And you know who put him up to it?
Jason.
Mr. Backpacking with Jason, sir, told me secretly to shave half of Miyagi's face. And I said, I can't do him dirty like that. And he told Miyagi that one of us would shave the other person half a face, and Miyagi went through with it.
Guys finish last.
Yeah, that's what you get for being empathetic.
Yeah,
empathy is not a good trait.
You got to be careful around the guy. I'm telling you, love the man to death, but be careful. Keep your head on a swivel. He'll keep you on your toes.
You're not wrong. Well, we only have a few minutes left, so before we get off the show tonight, I want to give you the opportunity to tell everybody where they can follow you, find you, check out your awesome videos, especially the bison chasing you off the cliff. So where can everybody get you at?
Well, for those of you who can stand to see my face more than 2 or 3 minutes at a time, you can find me on YouTube. It's Rob Pelton. There's a link right there. On Instagram, it's rpelton1. Those are the two main social medias. I'm not on TikTok. I'm not on, you know, Twitter or anything. Like, those are the two main things I post on.
Although I think you doing some dancing TikTok videos would be pretty entertaining.
I mean, I've danced in my video, so I don't know. Maybe there'll be just a trail dance TikTok. That, you know, we'll see. I have to incorporate some other people. So if we go hiking, JK, we're dancing, bud.
Are we gonna do your first TikTok video?
Let's do it. I'm down.
It's gotta happen. Can you do it from Peru?
Oh, yes. Wow.
Like, I want the first dancing video from a TikTok video from Peru on Rainbow Mountain.
I'll see what I can do.
Oh, it's got to happen.
See what I can do. Yeah.
We're holding you to it. It's like literally hundreds of people are going to hear about this now.
All right, hundreds.
Possibly thousands.
Worldwide.
But potentially it's millions.
It's what we like to call a phenomenon.
That's right.
YouTube, Instagram are the main places to check you out, follow your journey.
Yep. Yeah,
definitely check out the YouTube videos. Got some great stuff, especially if you're into hammock camping and you do want to find out more about the Ridge Runner. You probably have more Ridge Runner content than anybody I know. So,
I got a lot.
What else?
It's a good hammock system.
Yeah, it is.
What else were you going to say?
If you want to drop me a line personally, you can email me, rpelton1yt@gmail.com. If you want to send me checks and millions of dollars, you can do that too.
That's a great idea. People should do that right now.
Yeah, put my email down as well. Carbon copy me on that one.
There you go. Perfect. Perfect. Well, I appreciate you having me drop by. It was awesome talking to you guys. I'd like to spend more time with you in person. So let's make that happen sooner rather than later. So.
Definitely, man. We'll hang out in the green room for a few seconds, and we'll be with you in just a minute.
Thanks, everyone.
Hey, brother. Dude, I told you he was going to have a great story.
A lot of laughs, a lot of fun, man.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, I love, like, what's really interesting about Rob, which we didn't get into some other things, like his he used to run a beach volleyball league, and some of the other things that he's done. It's just he's got a fun life, man. He's done some really cool stuff in his time.
Yeah, I went backpacking with him, and there's never a dull moment, man. It's a lot of fun.
I also like Rob because he hikes more my pace. So
yeah, Jeremy, he just disappears. He's at camp whenever you're leaving the first camp.
Dude, Rob, he's just a beast, man. He's a beast.
Yeah, Rob kind of goes at his own pace, and
I like it.
Style hiking too.
I like it. I also think Miyagi's similar to Jeremy, except he's doing so much video he doesn't get very far because he's running backwards and forwards the entire time he's out there. So actually, Miyagi just commented, Rob is one of the most favorite people to hike with. Super humble dude with great stories. Check out his channel for sure. Great content. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, Jeremiah, it's been a good night, man.
Yeah, we should also probably mention next Monday. We won't be live streaming, but 100% I will put the episode on YouTube on Wednesday. So stay tuned. We're definitely not going to leave you without content, but you can check it out on YouTube or anywhere you find podcasts.
Yes, we are taking advantage of the fact that it's Labor Day by not laboring. So
yeah, I'm going to backpack.
I'm going to be at Kings Island riding roller coasters. So
yeah, both of us are going to have fun.
It's going to be a good day. It's going to be really interesting for me, though, with a 4 and a 5-year-old. We'll see how that goes. That may be a whole podcast episode by itself. We'll see. Yeah,
good luck with that.
But with that said, for myself and Jeremiah, everybody have a great rest of your week, and we will catch you on the next one. Adios. Thank you.